They're good players, so, you know, and we can put Gore up too. He was productive during the preseason, so we have the possibility of doing that, but we have trust in the other two guys. You know, they've particularly Darryl, I mean, he's been productive for a number of years here, so.
That's head coach Kansas City Chiefs Andy Reid sharing his thoughts on the replacements at running back in the absence of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's out 3 weeks with a knee injury. Darryl Williams, he refers to Derek Gore, didn't say anything about Jerick McKinnon in there. Not that we should read too much
he
into that.
He did before that, but he gave numbers instead of names, and I'm like, no, not everybody knows numbers.
True.
So I cut it at just the start of we have good players.
All right. So Andy Reid okay with what he's got at running back. I think there's no need to make a trade like we talked about yesterday with Marlon Mack, but we shall see what the Chiefs end up doing. Coming up, Major League Baseball playoffs, Game 5 tonight, big game. Thursday Night Football, NFL, drama in Norman. Kyrie Irving speaks, and Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, will be with us as well. But first, we turn it over to Dusty for lots of local sports information.
Yeah, a lot of activity actually going on today. The Lakeside Invitational Cross Country Meet, which is also the Northern Plains League and NCAA League meets this afternoon starting at 4 o'clock. Over there in Downs, all of our area cross-country teams are competing at that event. So, obviously, the Bullet Trojans in the NCAA League, and then all of our MPL teams will go for the league championship as well. And then Smith Center is competing just in the Lakeside Invitational part of the meet here today in Downs. Also, Mid-Continent League Volleyball Tournament begins today with pool play. There's four pools of three teams, and the top team from each pool will move on to a finals kind of pool on Saturday in Phillipsburg. Smith Center is hosting in Pool B. They'll face Hill City tonight, or this afternoon, I should say, at 4:30. Then approximately 6:30, they'll play Hoxie. If they would win that pool, then they would move on to Saturday again in Phillipsburg. You can find the full schedule for the Mid-Continent League Tournament, as well as this weekend's Northern Plains League Tournament at ncksports.com. Also, coming up here tonight, we have our high school football locker room chats. We'll talk to the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas here this evening on the locker room chats around 5:10 to 5:15. So stay tuned for those on Katy Country 94 and also at katycountry94.com. Newest rankings have been released by the Kansas Volleyball Association as well. Still this week, Smith Center, the only immediate area team that's in the rankings. They're number one in Class 2A. TMP Marion from the Mid-Continent League is number 10 in Class 3A. Again, those are the only real local notes. We'll have those complete rankings posted at ncksports.com as well. And congratulations to Beloit senior Brennan Walker, our ncksports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Walker was a key factor in many different facets of the game in Beloit football's 28-6 win over Norton on Friday night. Highlight of his night was a 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, but he also made his presence known in another area of special teams with his second block punt over the last 2 weeks, as he also had one against Phillipsburg in Week 5. So to add to his great night against Norton, he had a 17-yard touchdown reception on the season. Walker leads the Beloit defense with 3 sacks and is second on the team with 39 tackles. Again, congratulations to Brennan Walker of Beloit, the senior, the ncksports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. We need your help in finding the Athlete of the Week. If you'd like more information, you can visit ncksports.com. We will announce the winners each week, and you can nominate an athlete from any school sport. So let's look at what's going on locally. Again, high school football locker room chats tonight. And we do have, again, high school football coming up tomorrow night as well on Katy Country 94, district game between St. John's Tipton and Lakeside with pregame coverage at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock, also online at katycountry94.com. And then on Z96 Point through the lake tomorrow night in online video, the Beloit Trojan channel at ncksports.com. It is Beloit at Minneapolis in 2A District 8 play. So that's coming up tomorrow night as well for high school football. So locker room chats tonight. Live play-by-play tomorrow night here on Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 the lake. All the latest in local sports at ncksports.com.
All right, very interesting development yesterday. Keisha has changed or finally fixed the problem they had when it came to determining who was going to host playoff football games. First of all, the first-round host always is a district winner and a runner-up. So seeds 1 and 2 from a district would host seeds 3 and 4 from across district. The higher-seeded team would host a regional playoff game. So like if you have a 1 versus a 2, a 2 versus a 3, so forth and so on. Last year there was a whole bunch of controversy, and there really shouldn't have been a whole bunch of controversy based on how Keisha actually wrote the rule. Mm-hmm. But then an Keisha official told Hoisington bad information and didn't fix the problem they had the year before when Hoisington had to go to Norton when Hoisington should have been hosting that game. And then last year, folks from Hoisington were telling us, I announced on the video stream and radio that the game would be in Beloit, and I was yelled at and screamed at, told that, no, the game's in Hoisington. I'm like, no, it's not, based on if you read this. Well, Acacia official told Hoisington they'd be hosting. That's why they got all excited about it. The thing is, they never changed the rule or the wording, and Beloit was like, hey, if you read it by the letter of the rule, we should be hosting. We haven't hosted any playoff games. Hoisington's hosted more than us, so forth and so on. Hoisington's argument was, we won the district. We beat Beloit head-to-head. Why are we got to go to Beloit? Which is a very good point.
Yeah.
And Beloit had a good argument as to, well, it's not, we didn't write the rule. This is what Acacia wrote. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You could call it the Hoisington rule, but here's what it was before. The number of times a school has hosted a playoff round game this year is the first factor considered in determining a host site between two schools before considering the East-West formula. And now they've added in red ink, in capital letters, exception. In the sub-state round, if the teams playing each other are from the same district, then the district winner will host the game. The number of games hosted in the playoffs will not be a determining factor. So if this was in place last year, Beloit would have had no home games in the playoffs, and Hoisington would have had every game at home, and probably deserved because they won their district. They were number two team in the state. Beloit had a losing record. So we'll avoid having a team like Hoisington in the same district winning the district, going to the fourth-place team out of district, Beloit. That was the situation last year. What's interesting to me is this year, the new rule that they wanted so bad could come back and bite Hoisington, possibly, because Beloit and Hoisington, same district, and if Beloit ends up winning the district and beating Hoisington, and Hoisington is runner-up, and then Beloit say they have three home games, and we get to the sub-state finals, the state semifinals, and Hoisington has one home game, or two, and Beloit has three, this rule doesn't matter anymore in regards to who's had how many home games, and Hoisington would have to come to Beloit because of the rule that they've wanted in place for 2 years. Mm. It is possible that could happen. And it is the right way to do it. There's no doubt this is the fair and better way to do it. But at the same time, it's like, how did Acacia not get this fixed sooner? They certainly should have had it fixed sooner, and they didn't. Now they finally did. And it took 2 years for Hoisington to get the short end of the stick in regards to where the game was played in the sub-state round.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, Hoisington's not the first team to have to deal with this.
No, they're not the only ones.
They're the ones that kind of
back-to-back
moved it and moved the needle on
yes,
it. If I recall correctly, if Thunder Ridge and Osborne would have actually played again that year that Steele Walters was a senior and Osborne won the state championship, then that they would have had to go to Kensington to play, and they had beaten Thunder Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be the same scenario, right? They won the district, but they would have had to go on the road. They didn't. Thunder Ridge unfortunately got upset by Central Christian, so Osborne played Central Christian instead. But, you know, that's just one of the examples I'm thinking of in my mind where it would have happened there too. And I know it's happened before Hoisington, where a district champion has had to go on the road to play in that round of the playoffs. But it probably hasn't happened 2 years to the same school. So,
no, probably
yeah.
not.
And so I would probably make us think about it as well. I wouldn't be real happy. I'm like, so what's the incentive of winning the district here?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
If I have to go on the road for the sub-state round, the one round before state.
Now, Hoisington ended up winning at Beloit anyway, but
yeah,
the year before,
yeah,
they lost at Norton. And
yeah,
I'll argue Hoisington should have won that game the year before, no matter where it was played. And they didn't.
For sure.
So that was still on Hoisington, but they would say, well, if we're going to lose the game, we should have lost it at home. And that's true. I would agree with that. All right, time for the Major Baseball Playoffs Game 5 tonight. It's the Dodgers at the Giants. It's 107-win Giants versus 106-win Dodgers, and one team season will be ended tonight in the divisional round. 8:07 first pitch tonight on TBS. This is what everybody wanted to see. This series, I wish it'd be 7 instead of 5 games, but it is 5 because it's a divisional series. And Dave Roberts says this is what it was all meant to be.
This is what baseball wants. All the series are done, and so we're going to be the only show in town. So if you have a pulse or you're a sports fan, you better be watching Dodgers Giants. So it's going to be a great one.
Here's Roberts on the approach against a team that they're so familiar with.
Because of the familiarity, we think alike. I think on the margins, trying to get advantages. We're going to play. We know what we do. They know what we do. We know who they want to have the baseball, you know, in game 5. They know who we want in the matchups we're trying to get. Now it's about going out there and execute, and the best team wins.
And the Giants will have home field advantage, something Gabe Kapler, manager of the Giants, is pleased with.
Webb will start that game for us, and we're going to – he's ready for it and get the rest of the club ready as well. I'm sure it'll be a lively atmosphere. It's going to be nice to get back to Oracle and have the support of our fans. And, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Dodgers and Giants played 23 times this year, and they don't like each other. And the Dodgers will go Julio Urias, who was 20-3 this year and pitched very well in the playoffs earlier against the Giants. He went five innings, allowed just one run in the Game 2 win for the Dodgers. He was 2-1 at ERA 3.38 against the Giants in five regular season starts. Logan Webb, who was spectacular in Game 1 for the Giants, he will get the ball for the Giants tonight. And, of course, every single man will be on deck, ready to go in an elimination game. Every reliever will be available, and there will be a quick hook for anybody that gets in trouble, more than likely. And many times it's the manager that does that correctly. If he pulls his starter too late, it could cost him. If he pulls his starter just in the nick of time, it could save the day. And I remember the Royals in Game 7 of the World Series. Jeremy Guthrie was a starter, and we were thinking, all right, Guthrie for a couple innings, and then we got Herrera for two, Davis for two, Holland with two. We can find a way somehow to get through, you know, nine innings, and all we got to do is get the lead. And the Royals did have a lead for a brief time in that game, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And then Yost went with Guthrie trying to milk a few more outs, and then he brought in Herrera, and it was about a batter or two too late. And that ended up being the difference in the game. And I'm not trying to be critical of Ned Yost. It's just, in hindsight, that's what happened. That was the difference in the game, because there was this guy named Bumgarner that the Giants brought out of the pen who was on 2 days rest and threw four or five shutout innings out of relief. Anything goes, throw everything out the window tonight. I don't think anybody's going to go nine innings complete game tonight. I'm just going to call it right here. Giants and Dodgers, winner moves on to take on the Braves. If the Giants win, they'll host the Braves in the NLCS in Game 1. If the Dodgers win, even though they have 106 wins, 18 more than the Braves, they would be at Atlanta for Game 1 of the NLCS. So this would be a fantastic game, and it's unfortunate they couldn't just call this the World Series because these are the two best teams in baseball, or at least be in the NLCS. But it is what it is. At least they're deciding on the field. If you're going to win the championship, you're going to have to go through, you know, each other. That's what's going to happen tonight. Dodgers, the defending World Series champions. The last time the Giants were in the World Series was, of course, 14 when they beat the Royals in Game 7. At Kauffman Stadium. So you think the Dodgers are going to win tonight? I'll go with the Giants. I'll say the Giants, they get it done. I'll just be different. I want to see a different matchup, Giants-Braves, not Dodgers-Braves. So
yeah, that's what I want to see is Giants-Braves for sure.
But you're picking Dodgers to win? I'll take the Giants. All right, Thursday night football tonight, NFL Network, Amazon, and Fox. It's the Buccaneers 4-1 at the Eagles 2-3, 7:20 kickoff tonight. Well, drama in Norman, Oklahoma. Number 4 Oklahoma football suddenly canceled all media availability prior to its Saturday matchup against TCU a day after the Oklahoma Daily student newspaper posted a report featuring insight on the open quarterback battle from practice. OU Daily reporters Mason Young and Austin Curtwright wrote Tuesday that freshman Caleb Williams took the majority of first-team reps over incumbent starter Spencer Rattler. The newspaper reportedly gained access to this information by viewing workouts from a public building on campus that overlooks the team's practice field. The quarterback battle has been one of the biggest stories in college football since Williams this past weekend, a five-star recruit from the class of 2021, led the Sooners on a 21-point comeback to beat Texas 55-48. Rattler was benched after a second turnover in the first half, and head coach Lincoln Riley has declined to name a starter for the game this Saturday against TCU. Neither Rattler nor Williams were made available for interviews after the emotional win. Some people have a problem with that. Some people totally understand. I have no big problem with whatever they want to do. Lincoln Riley is the head coach. He can be in control of that. That's fine with me. But then all of a sudden canceling all media availability. Why did that have to happen? So because two students or reporters were a little bit creative and able to get some access, which they didn't trespass or anything else. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything they did was illegal. So you're going to punish the rest of the media by not having media availability. You just cancel it all.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
No, I'm not a fan of it. You said, I mean, it's his program. He can do what he wants, true. But I don't understand the point of that. Like, okay, we've put it on.
Yeah.
You put it on film.
Yeah.
It's all there. Right. Everybody saw what Caleb Williams did, right?
Right.
And everybody knows who Spencer Rattler already is. I don't feel like there's any advantage to gain or not gain based on who your quarterback is this week.
Right.
If he only came in and played like two drives, then maybe so. But I mean, he played a lot in that game. Yeah. Williams did on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's being blown out of proportion from really kind of both sides, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't think you had to cancel all media availability, though.
No.
All right, Kyrie Irving went on Instagram Live to discuss his current situation. Most notably, Irving confirmed that he is unvaccinated. Well, duh. He said he will not retire. He's claiming that he was promised an exemption from the COVID-19 vaccine. Earlier this week, the Nets announced that Irving will not be allowed to participate with the team as a part-time player, citing a desire to build chemistry and remain true to their long-established values of togetherness and sacrifice. The Nets said Irving will not play or practice with the team until he's eligible to be a full participant. Irving is unvaccinated against COVID-19, and under New York City's current health mandates, that means he would not be allowed to play in the Nets' home games at Barclays Center. He was able to practice with the team after their facility was deemed an office building, and under the NBA's rules, could potentially play in most of the Nets' road games. The Nets, however, decided not to accommodate him in that manner. Here's what Irving had to say, and I quote, "It's reality that in order to be in New York City, in order to be on a team, I have to be vaccinated. I chose to be unvaccinated, and that was my choice, and I would ask you all just to respect that choice. And I'm going to just continue to stay in shape, be ready to play, be ready to rock out with my teammates, and just be part of this whole thing." Now, Irving doesn't appear like he's open to receiving the vaccine himself anytime soon. He is supportive of those who have got vaccinated, and he clarified that his decision is not about being anti-vax. Furthermore, he is not planning on retiring over the issue. He says, "No, I'm not retiring. I'm not leaving this game like this. There's still so much more work to do, and there's still so many youngins out there to inspire because I know they want to be better than me, and I can't wait to play against all you on this stage." So he's more about fighting the mandate. That's his problem, not the actual vaccination itself. So we'll continue to follow the story, but Kyrie Irving speaking on Instagram Live, finally getting something coming straight from his mouth as to why he's doing what he's doing, and he's giving up a lot of money if he stands true to this cause. Kyrie Irving has done a lot of good things off the court and in the communities. He's paid for scholarships for various kids. He's donated lots of money. He bought a house for George Floyd's mom, according to what I saw yesterday. Mm-hmm. He has put money, probably more so than many other athletes, to help other people. Some people say Kyrie Irving's being selfish. I think that would be totally inaccurate because, honestly, he's being unselfish by giving up all this money. Selfish would be, the heck with my causes. I'm going to get my money. That's not what he's doing. But other people would say, well, this is, once again, problems with Kyrie and distracting from the team, and he always runs by his own toot of his own horn, which, you know, he has the prerogative to do. We all do individually. We can choose to not work or play or whatever it might be. We can speak up and have our voice heard. That's the greatness of our country. So Kyrie Irving will continue to follow it and see if he changes his tune and gets vaccinated and then plays, or if he feels like he's done enough to kind of fight that mandate and stand up for people that don't think it's right for there to be a mandate in New York City. We'll see what happens. But right now, as of now, he is not really, honestly, a member of this basketball team. Technically, he's employed, but he will not be playing unless he's a full-time participant. And unless he gets vaccinated, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's what's interesting to me is, like, he probably wouldn't be employed anymore at a lot of different places if he did that. You have it to your own prerogative, right? You can do what you want, and we could stop, you know, working if we didn't want to get a vaccine. But you'd also not probably have your job.
You'd probably give up your job. But it's still your choice. You'd be
employment.
Up your job.
Yeah, it is still your choice. But he's got a different scenario there where the Nets are letting him still be employed. They're obviously not paying him because they're not allowed to by NBA rules. So, he's sticking up for what he believes in, and that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, it makes sense from both sides. I get his perspective, and I respect him for it, and I respect the Nets for saying, hey, we have a business, an organization to run, and we're not going to let you be a part-time player because then we open up a can of worms.